WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect, and damn proud of it.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What hurts most are my feelings. You cussed at me. You verbally abused me. Whatever shall I do?
And the indie scene.
Where do you think you're going? Nobody's leaving. Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas. No, no, we're all in this together. This is a full-blown four-alarm holiday emergency here. We're going to press on, and we're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny fucking K. And when Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults. Obviously, I am the only adult here.
Spud.
Asshole.
Yes, I am.
Mace.
I'm going to speak very slowly so you'll understand me.
And the Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Kiss my ass. Kiss his ass. Kiss your ass. Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, baby.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
And welcome everybody to a Christmas evening edition of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Of course, I'm the Spud Guy, and joining me is the network's favorite Jew, Sir Rockin.
That's a good one.
And the network's favorite and only Aussie, the original foreign kid, Mace.
Yeah, we fired the other Aussie. That was my Christmas present a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
So how are we, gentlemen? Are we all full of Christmas goodness and ready to pass out into a Christmas food-induced coma?
I ate more food today than I did at Thanksgiving. I did.
So much for the diet.
I decided that this week was cheat week, and that tomorrow I will go back. Like, I have all my stuff to go back on my diet. I'm rather proud of myself. Over the past 3 days, I have only had 4 glasses of caffeinated, carbonated soda. So, I'm proud of myself. Only 4 glasses. Rather than, like, whole 2 liters.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. You know, cause Mace, see, Rock, our Christmas was today, and then yesterday was Mace's Christmas. So was Santa good to you, Mace?
Well, yes and no. Santa yes. gave me $150 worth of EB Game vouchers.
That works.
Except EB Games has absolutely nothing worth buying at this time of year. That I haven't actually bought already.
Go online.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out. There's stuff coming out around February that'd be worth grabbing. But in conjunction with Santa, I decided to go out and buy myself presents this year.
Cool.
In the tune of the Nintendo 3DS. Yay!
Nice!
What about Rock?
Santa was pretty good. You know, I got a couple clothes, a game, money. Pretty good.
What do they call Santa Claus in Hebrew?
I have no fucking idea.
No?
No.
Shlamiel.
Mr. Hanky? Did Mr. Hanky put stuff under your menorah for you? I have to be slightly offensive because I know you understand and will take it.
Yeah, I have no business. I don't care. It's all good.
I do have to ask something about something of you, Mace, though, that is rather geeky, because I'm not sure I understand. Did you happen to do the? Did you sign up for WoW for the year to get the mount and the Diablo 3 and all that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I misread my renew date. I thought it was the 28th. It says the 25th, which is today. And my card switched. I have a new card. So the card that it's coming out of declined.
Ew. Okay.
Yeah. So I have to, tomorrow input the card.
Yeah.
Because I have to dig out my authenticator.
Yes, because you'll have to go on the website, change your credit cards around, and then it'll set up the payment and everything off the new card, I believe.
Right, but it's pending for today. And at midnight today, when it turns to the 26th, what happens? Like, are they going to come after me with cops and lawyers? Or am I going to get a day to fix this?
I don't know, actually. At most, because the payment will be declined, it just means that they'll send you an email saying, yes, it has been declined. Are you able to pay for it any other way?
Alright.
Yes. Merry Christmas! Change your cards! We're gonna fuck around with your account! Yay!
Well, I had to get a new card anyway.
Ah.
So. I saw you went Boxing Day shopping.
I did.
I have to go do that tomorrow, because tomorrow is our version of Boxing Day. So.
Well, the record currently stands at 7 people clotheslined, so.
Any deaths today over there in Canada or in Australia?
No, but I tell you what, came close to throwing an Asian guy off the railing.
Nice!
Dude kept getting in my way every 2 seconds, and then he'd slow down. Like, it's not Asian drivers that are slow, it's just Asian people in general.
This is true. Santa brought me something cool that I just finished watching literally before we went on the air.
Yeah, which was?
The Greatest Rivalries, Shawn versus Brett DVD.
So I just finished watching Toy Story.
Well, I watched a bit of it this morning at my mother-in-law's house. And I got about an hour and 5 minutes into it, and I looked at my wife and I'm like, it's just now getting interesting, and we have to leave to go to my aunt and uncle's house for dinner. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, they're just now getting into right before the Iron Man match, where things started to get a little heated between the two. And I'm like, now the shit that they're saying is a little bit more real and not as worked. But after, I will say this.
So basically, you were forced to leave just before, like, the great third act climax of a movie.
Yeah. But
that's
luckily.
Suck.
Well, luckily it's on DVD and I just watched it when I got home while I was cleaning out my office. I will say this though, after watching that entire DVD, I am now more firm in my belief than ever that the Montreal Screwjob was all a work.
Yeah. And in other news, the sun rises.
You know, I'm one of those idiots that forever thought that thing was just was a 100% a shoot. But I'm convinced now more than ever that was a work.
Yeah, like when it first happened, definitely I was among those that goes, oh my god, it was a shoot. Then when you get more involved in the business, you start to realize maybe things aren't always what they seem.
Yeah, that...
Plus, the following years, and especially when Brett returned to the WWE, that you sort of went, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was, I'm firmly entrenched that it was all 100% a work. And it was probably one of the greatest works ever. Ever. I'm hoping we get one as good as that soon.
We will never have anything that good. Let's face it, in today's 24-second news cycle and everybody getting information from everywhere else, you could never pull something like that off ever again.
I think you could.
What, you're going to pull the plug on the internet so nobody finds out?
No, I think that in today's day and age, we've sort of gone through the dark ages of wrestling over the last 10 years, and we're sort of at the beginning of what we could consider a renaissance in wrestling. And when you have Triple H taking over more of the day-to-day operations and him working with the writers more than Stephanie is, or having more input in the writers now than he used to, and that they're firing some of the writers and getting down to a core group that really know wrestling as well as writing. And you have guys like Brian and Ziggler and Punk and Ryder, and we'll even put Bourne and Kofi in there, who I think can really work and really tell a story, and a select few that have the ability to carry out a work of the magnitude that Sean and Brett put on. I think you could do it in today's day and age, even with all the social media and shit.
Mm.
I still think people can keep secrets.
It's possible, I suppose. Just, it's a lot harder, though.
Than yeah.
It was. So it just means they just got to be sneakier and craftier.
I would agree. I would agree they need to be sneakier and craftier. I will say this, though. Speaking of CM Punk, did you see the article about the low ratings and last week's Raw runoff only had something like 59 or almost, it was only
they only gained 59,000 viewers on the overrun.
Yeah, only 59,000 viewers on the overrun. Thought was it's the week before Christmas.
Yeah. You got Christmas coming up, so everybody's out running around like madmen. I'm quite sure, you know, there was probably something else on another channel that probably drew more viewers, like an end of season or something. There's probably a billion and one reasons as to why such things have happened.
Well, the overrun, last week's Monday Night Football game was San Francisco Pittsburgh.
Was that the one with the blackout?
Yes, twice. So I will say that Pittsburgh is quite possibly one of the most favored teams in the NFL. So there are a lot of people who are probably switching back and forth between Raw and Monday Night Football. And also, like I said, it's the week before Christmas. Stores have been packed in the United States and Canada all week.
Yeah.
So to think that between the hours of 9 and 11 that people were out that people were out shopping isn't out of the realm of, you know, rational thought this time of year.
Yeah, and it just happens to be that Punk's the unfortunate bastard who's getting caught up in it all.
Yeah, I think they're going to I think those that are still there that don't believe in Punk, yeah, as far as the writers that are still there that don't believe in Punk, are going to use this as an excuse to take the belt off of him and try and put it back on Cena.
Which is a shame, because, you know, here it is, you finally have three good guys that the crowd, the fans, the WWE Universe, you know, all of them behind these three guys, yet it just seems like they're just looking for an excuse to take the belts off them. You know, as soon as they give them a chance, they're looking for any excuse to get rid of them. Sure, it could be me just putting on my tinfoil hat, but, yeah, it happens.
I think it's funny that the John Cena promo drew a 3.2, looking at the quarterly ratings. And to me, that's rather sad, because I know that they're going to use that. Be like, look, Punk was in the opening segment. He drew a 3.4 for the opening segment. But Randy Orton and Barrett drew a 3.1. You know, like, they're going to use that. Like, people are going to use that to say that Punk doesn't belong as champion. And I think that individuals like Punk, Bryan Danielson, Ryder, all of them, and I thought this the other day, and I thought it was a very valid point. How do you expect those three guys and guys like them to draw well on your ratings and on your television programs if you haven't really pushed them and done everything you could to bury them within the last 3 years?
Well, you can't.
You can't expect those guys to draw if you're not willing to put the machine behind them.
I mean, we've seen the machine work. We've seen it work for one individual within a matter of a week and a half. Think of The Miz and Sheamus.
Yeah. More so Sheamus, though. Because he skyrocketed.
And Del Rio.
During his face turn. Yeah, Del Rio especially.
That and Del Rio is actually really good. I'm beginning to like Del Rio a lot more than I did before. And I think our favorite Jew is back. What say you, Jew?
Who, me?
Yes, you.
Who, me? What about me? To go to your point, there's a lot of talk among people that they're going to blame Zack Ryder because they're seeing a trend on his segments. Everything goes down on his segments. Even though the crowd likes him, his segments are dropping with viewers every single week.
What did I say about capitalizing?
What did you say?
About getting him when the iron's hot?
Mm-hmm.
And
the iron started to cool down when they decided to hit the damn thing.
Yeah, I mean, right after Survivor Series. Survivor Series was your hot point.
But this was before Survivor Series. His segments have been dropping viewers at a rate they're not liking.
You know what? You still aren't, but they still haven't put the machine behind him. That's the thing. If they would really push him, he's top five in merchandise sales because he's done it himself.
Right.
He's gained the amount of Facebook and Twitter followers because he's done it himself. They haven't put the machine behind him. If you want to make somebody successful on television, you're going to have to put the machine behind him.
I'm just saying what I know from reading stuff.
I'm not disagreeing with you one bit, sir.
I know. I have to point out the facts.
Hey, this isn't
kayfabe. No more arguments on Christmas.
Hey, this isn't kayfabe wrestling radio. We're allowed to have discussion here.
I know. It's always good. It's always good to have some sort of discussion on a show.
And that was a shot.
Yeah. So changing topics right now, we're going to move on to talking about TNA. No, let's continue where we're at.
I watched one match out of Impact this week, and it was the tag team match between Eric Young and ODB against, what's his face? The other part of Ink Inc. that's still there. Shannon Moore and
Shannon Moore.
And the Mexican bloke.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm going to say
the guy they got from the garden. But the only reason why I watch it is because it's Eric Young.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this right now to anyone from Bleacher Report or any other news source that might be listening. It's not Spunk. It's not Smug. It's not Spooge. It's not Spoo. It's Spug. S-P-U-G.
Spug.
Yeah. It's not Spud. I'm not a fucking potato. It's Spug, for Christ's sakes. Alan Wojcik and Spunk. I'm sure that's not his God-given name.
See, now, no, I got a great laugh out of that article because they actually spelt Wojcik correctly, but they couldn't spell Spug.
Yeah. That interview with Jesse Neal was a lot of fun, though. It was a good interview.
It sounded like it was a lot of fun. I'm quite annoyed that I missed it, actually.
I'm glad that he got it, though, because I thought maybe he thought I was being disrespectful at points, and I really wasn't trying to be. I'm glad he got it and understood where I was going in the interview. Because I kind of wanted to ask him questions as a fanboy, to an extent. You know, because we're those of us who are training or in the business or whatever, we're all marks. All of us. So it's fun to ask those questions. Because we know there's real sincerity behind it. You know?
Yeah. And, you know, how much of us doing stuff on the indie scene are going to see what actually happens, you know, behind the scenes in TNA or on that type of level?
Did you like the question I asked him about TNA?
about them succeeding with the way that they're going.
Yeah.
Yeah, very well done. And I like the way he was dancing around without trying to name names, but still go, yeah, they're sort of fucked.
Yeah, well, like, the moment I asked that,
praising Russo, though, I'm like, what?
The more and more
I've been saying that for years, it's not 100% Russo's fault.
It's not 100% Russo's fault, but it seems to be that the crazier ideas that Russo does, they get green-lighted. And the good ideas that he has, they're like, no, 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 we're going to do something else. Like, what? Because I've been reading a lot more about Russo lately, and he's not 100% to blame.
No, he's been the scapegoat since the WCW days.
I will give you that. I will give you that. I wanted to ask you guys this, though, and Jersey Girl brought it up. She made sure that I had this little tidbit so we talk about it, and I was fine with it. But they've got those Cena Sucks t-shirts out now.
Yeah.
And they're still taking away the Cena Sucks posters from fans at tapings.
Coming soon, Cena Sucks posters, only $12.99, is available at the gift shop.
You think?
Yeah.
It would only make
They're
sense.
Gonna turn this into another bit of Cena merchandise, man. There's gonna be posters, t-shirts, buttons, probably an action figure with a limited edition cloth t-shirt with Cena Sucks on it.
Oh, good lord.
That's no bueno.
They're trying to take the fun out of expressing an opinion and just turning it into another marketing thing.
Oh, I think that's only gonna last for so long.
It will last until probably WrestleMania, and after that you won't see any.
Speaking of Cena, though, he's been paired with Kane for the past couple of weeks. If, hypothetically, they keep the belt on CM Punk and don't do a quick ditch to Cena to get the ratings back up where they want them, and let this thing play out with Punk, and let him either sink or swim and prove that he can do it, if they continue along with Cena and Kane, is Kane the catalyst that Cena needs to become heel in enough time for the Rumble and the eventual march to WrestleMania with The Rock?
Only if he loses to Kane at the Rumble. Or Kane causes him to be, like, you got a Final Four situation. We'll go just randomly. Cena, Kane, we'll go Orton and Barrett for the sake of who gives a shit. Cena's getting ready to take out, like, Orton.
Right.
Kane causes Cena to be eliminated at the verge of, like, winning or something. Or even Kane's on the outside and pulls Cena over the top, giving somebody else the win. Sets up a match between them in, say, a cage in February. Which I believe is still Elimination Chamber?
Yep.
Yeah, but are you really going to put a cage match on the card with the Elimination Chambers?
Good point.
You can always
They'd have to do some gimmick match February, and that's where you turn Cena heel.
What about... Well, here's the thing, though. Like, you have to end this between... You would have to end this between Kane and Cena in either the Rumble or No Way Out, Elimination Chamber. I still can't call it anything but No Way Out.
Many years of pre-program.
But, well, still, think about it. It's the Elimination Chamber. There is no way out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you would have to end it by then. Because you couldn't carry it till just before Mania and end it then. Because there's no pay-per-view for a payoff.
Yeah. Plus, you want to use your time between. I'd probably say if you're going to end it, you're going to have to end it at the Rumble, and then do your build up for Cena and The Rock there, with your heel turn somewhere in that patch. Because I can't see Cena turning heel before Rumble, but I can see the Rumble being an instrument in why he turns heel.
Let me ask you this before you go, Rock. I gotta. Mace said something, and I want to ask you this, and I'll toss it to Mace. Can you have Cena pull double duty at the Rumble and have him have a payoff match with Kane and lose and then be eliminated in the Rumble by The Rock to complete the turn to the dark side at the Rumble.
Do you bring The Rock in for the Rumble?
As a distraction only.
You have him...
Again, it'd be a Final Four situation and you hit The Rock's music.
You don't even have to have The Rock there. You hit The Rock's music as a distraction. Cena gets ready to take on The Rock. All of a sudden, somebody throws Cena over.
No, because that puts heat on Rock.
Exactly. Yeah,
No. We're trying to get the heat on Cena, though.
Yeah.
We're trying to get Cena as a babyface. Or not as a babyface, but as a heel.
Right. Okay, so you could have The Rock come out, turn around, kick Cena in the balls, hit him over the head with a fucking chair, and he'd still be over as fuck.
Yeah, but from a wrestling logic standpoint, the music bit is heelish.
It's heel psychology.
It might be heel, but the thing is, you don't even have to say that The Rock was the one who said cue the music. It could be anybody.
Well,
but then you have The Rock played off. Wasn't me. Look, these people love me. Why would I do something to destroy your career? Cena cracks the shits. You did it. It's all your fault. And then he turns around and goes, you know what? I don't give a flying fuck what these people say anymore. Have him turn on the people suddenly. Because they're cheering for The Rock and not him.
Well, here's the thing. This is the very fine line you have to walk with this, and for me, is that this is a one-off. Rock and Cena aren't going to be creating a DVD in 3 years about how great their rivalry was.
Want to make a bet on that? I wouldn't give it 3 years. I give it my Survivor Series. They put out a special, edition of, Rock Cena.
Yeah, and complete retrospective on the feud leading up to WrestleMania.
Maybe even
only $19.99 available on WWEShop.com.
There you go.
Oh, speaking of Cena, we have breaking news.
Yeah, I saw this. Yeah, go ahead.
John Cena has been slapped with a lien against him. $15,000 lien by a Florida roofing company for a $15,000 $14.92 bill for a roof that they put on his house.
Which means, by Tuesday, someone's going to write a check and everything will be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
pretty much. Cena's going to turn around and go, oh, wait, I didn't pay this bill? Oh, my apologies. Here you go. Have money. Take my money!
It's called he's been on the road and things slip by.
I would say, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
It's not.
It's slow news day. Something popped up with Cena's name. All the wrestling sites are jumping on it.
TMZ. Someone called TMZ, and they,
It's not like he's Ric Flair.
Right. It's not like he owes money on the house. It's on a roof. Not behind on mortgage payments or this or that. It's, he has to pay a contractor.
It's not like he has more lawsuits against him than Jesus.
Exactly. But let's go back to the Rumble thing. You would really work. You got to blow it off with Kane at the Rumble, but I don't see Cena doing double duty.
I think you can pull double duty. I think you can.
But
it wouldn't be the first time people have done double duty on the pay-per-view.
I know that. I'm just saying, I don't think it's needed.
Well, all right, follow me along on this.
Okay.
And you know what? I tell you what. We'll play out the scenario right after these messages right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Going out in the storm.
This is Gene Simmons.
And this is Paul Stanley of KISS. Happy holiday season.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. Season's greetings and all the best for a safe and happy holiday season.
Hi, this is Pete Townsend. I want to wish you happy holidays.
Hello, this is Robert Plant wishing everybody a very happy holiday season.
Hey, this is Meatloaf, and I am just wishing every one of you a very, very Merry Christmas.
WildTalkRadio.com.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air.
This is where Spuck should say, welcome back to Russell Talk Radio Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Someone else can talk. Besides, I had a mouthful of beef jerky. I normally don't have to look at the thing and worry about going.
Well, this is your show tonight.
It's not my show tonight. It's our show.
Well, you're the one leading the way. You're the one with all the questions.
No.
Face
not
it,
really.
Spud. Tonight, you're Tim Stein.
No.
Yeah, you are.
No, 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 no. No, no, no.
No? You don't want to be Tim?
No.
Okay. Anyway, if you would like to call in the show, it's 267-297-1397. If you have an opinion on what we're talking about this evening.
Or if you just want to talk Christmas or whatever.
That too.
Yeah. I got a 5-pound bag of beef jerky for Christmas. A 5-pound bag.
Okay, so I'll have to send an email to Shazda and say more squats and lots more cardio for Spug.
No, it's not carbs, it's protein. That's for muscle building.
Still.
Anyway.
Still. Just get you to do more workout stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, before the break, I was talking about a scenario that I could see John Cena pulling double duty that would help blow off both feuds, right? Mm-hmm. So you have this build-up to Kane and John Cena at the Rumble, and they face off, and you have Kane go over on John Cena. Later in the night, during the Rumble match, The Rock's music hits, and out comes The Rock. Rock enters the Rumble. Next thing you know, the next entrant is Maybe you see some sort of like vignette. The moment The Rock comes out to the ring, you see some vignette where Cena's in the back trying to scramble his way to get the next entry, right? And maybe he even hijacks the entry. Like, I forget who did it a couple of years ago. Somebody hijacked, and it wasn't Eddie.
They've done it a few times, people have
hijacked. Right. Yeah. But you have John Cena hijack the entry to come running in to take Rock out. And John Cena comes running in to take Rock out, and then next thing you know, Cena's gone. And then you have Cena snap right there. Right there. Because we've seen it. Even somebody not in the Rumble can eliminate someone who's still in it.
Yeah, because the whole point is that you go over the top rope, man.
Over the top rope, both feet must touch the floor.
Right.
And you have Cena snap.
Can I add to that scenario?
Sure.
The reason...
excuse me for a second. The reason why it won't work?
No. I don't mind it so much, but the thing is, you're going to have to eliminate The Rock somehow and still make him look good. You can't just have him being thrown over, which is your biggest problem there, or else you're going to start killing your main event at Mania.
That's where Cena snapping comes in, and he comes back and eliminates The Rock.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Like, I could see Cena scrambling, comes out, no music, no nothing, doesn't even wait for the next entry, just bolts out, goes in the ring, gets a rock bottom, and thrown straight out by The Rock.
Okay. That's
what causes the snap.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of going
back,
with.
Brawl over the both men over the top rope. Brawl to the back.
Okay.
They keep going through the back. And then you have your big pull apart and Cena just snapping and yelling, screaming at The Rock.
Yeah, but I don't think that necessarily turns him heel because I think we've seen that before. Rock?
I'm trying to, you know, piece out the scenario because you still have to get Cena back out there if you're putting him in the Rumble. And that's where you would hope the fans turn if he beats.
That's where you do like they did with Finlay back in, I think it was the 09 Rumble, where he came out of order, and then they put a thing over, you know, Finlay has been disqualified.
But I don't want that, because if you're going to do this angle with The Rock, you got to get Cena back out there and see if it worked to draw the heat. See if it drew the heat you're looking for.
Well, this is what I was saying before the break, is that you have to walk a fine line with this because this is a one-off. The Rock's not there for an extended period of time. They're not going to have a Greatest Rivalries DVD between Rock and Cena. It's not going to fly. Even Vince wouldn't let that one fly.
To answer Jersey Girl's question in the chat room, why would they either one be in the Rumble? They both have stated to make this match the biggest match of all time, it would be for the WWE title.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've clearly seen, the title match doesn't always happen at WrestleMania. That's their loophole of getting, you know, building the hype about The Rock's going to be in the Rumble. But
well, that's the thing. John Cena, a couple of years ago, won the Rumble and didn't cash it in at Mania. He cashed it in at No Way Out.
Right. Good.
Yeah. But the thing is, you could also, if you get both men taken out, which means you now take the world title out of the equation, which would lead in somehow furthering their feud, you also open up the possibility of the heel John Cena taking on the current top babyface, which would be CM Punk, if they give him the right amount of chance, which leads into a program with Cena and Punk. Which could either make or break Cena as a long-time heel, could go the way of a Hulk Hogan heel turn back in 96.
When you're doing that program...
Well, you'd start running it probably after WrestleMania.
Okay, I thought you were going to, for a minute, in the build-up. Okay.
All right, well, let me...
No, you wouldn't run it in the build-up unless
unless you have Cena or The Rock winning the Rumble, which would not be a good deal.
All right, well, let me throw this in there. If you turn John Cena heel, and we've been clamoring for a while, and we've all been racking our brains on how to do it, quote-unquote, properly. If you turn John Cena heel for this feud, what is the motivation after this feud to keep him heel? Because doesn't he have his reconciliation at Mania? Because he's going to go over on The Rock. We all know The Rock's not going over.
Which is true, because this has been the passing the torch. You know, it's like Hogan passed it to The Rock. The Rock now passes it to Cena.
What if The Rock goes over?
Then you have effectively buried John Cena.
Yeah, which I would have thought 1 year ago impossible. But if you have The Rock go over on John Cena, you effectively bury 10 years of what you've done with Cena. Bury.
Yep. It's one of those things of you trying... This is basically... And, you know, we're going to keep comparing it to Rock Hogan because, frankly, that's exactly what this has been from day one.
Yeah.
What, you know, The Rock was the biggest thing at that point in time. And having him in the match with Hulk Hogan and having The Rock go over Hogan, while a lot of people went, oh, my God, you know, why? It made Rock a bigger star. It propelled him to another level. And that's the exact same thing they're going to want to do with Cena.
I think with Rock Cena, the way you have to do it, the way you really really have to do it, like when you get to WrestleMania, you get to that point at the end of the match. We know you're putting Cena over. But you have to do it in a way that makes John Cena look strong and credible.
And you know what? It's going to take one hell of a bump from The Rock to do it. But have we ever seen a nephew off the top?
No. But I will ask you this. Is Rock still enough a child of the business that he would give Cena the rub that needs to be given in this match? Will Rock do the job for him?
Yes.
You think so?
Yep.
Yeah, no doubt. Because he was doing it to Goldberg. When Goldberg came in, he put Goldberg over on his way out.
Yeah, but I think that's different.
But The Rock's never been about the winning.
No.
He's always put people over.
I'm not necessarily saying that, but if you think about what's going on between John Cena and The Rock, it's gotten very personal.
Right, and you're thinking, will The Rock's ego allow him to lose?
That's it. Will The Rock's ego allow him to do the job for John Cena? That's my point. Because even though The Rock is not a member of that company, he's got enormous stroke.
Yeah, but even if he does the job, he'll still have his speech on Raw the next night.
Okay.
He can still walk out of this with his head held high, even taking the loss.
Okay.
And is that how you know it was a battle of respect and John Cena earns The Rock's respect, yada, 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 that's how Cena becomes good again?
No. That's when Cena turns around and says, you know what, I don't give a flying fuck about your respect. That's where you can do both ways. You can have Cena turn around and go, okay, thank you very much. I'm glad that we had this match and turn him back face. Or you can have him say, screw your respect, and cement him as a heel for the next few months.
Yeah. Can you cement the heel turn at that point?
That's the direction, you know, they have to decide. Do they want to go that direction where Cena's the long-term top heel?
I don't see what's wrong with going that route.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but it's a company decision. It's more than just the match with The Rock. It's now taking the John Cena character and into a whole other direction for at least another year.
I mean, yeah. I can see what you mean by it, but still, I will say it. You've got to do something with John Cena other than the stupid trumpet, the champ is here, come out, Superman theme against all odds, and then win title after title. Because at that point, that's the same. Doing that effectively buries him in a way the same way that having The Rock go over on him at Mania would. I think this is where Mace is going to tell me I'm wrong.
I'm just thinking the more and more we talk about this, the harder and harder it is for us to work out a solution.
But okay.
In the end, that's not our point to work out a solution.
Right, but this is fun.
This is fun. Let me ask you this. Has WWE booked themselves into a corner that they can't get out of?
No.
No?
They can always get out of the corner.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
there's always a plan B.
Yeah. Making John Cena heel, though, might make the most sense, as it will elevate your baby faces for the next year. Let Cena do big jobs in big situations to the top faces and make them strong.
And establish your new crop of stars?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, plus, this does exactly what you were saying before, Spug. This gives the Machine a chance to get behind other people for once.
Well, speaking of the Machine, in the past year, we have seen Zack Ryder, whom we made fun of a year ago.
And people still do.
And people still do, become your United States champion. We've seen the Summer of Punk. And Punk finally get his due in a big way. We've seen Bryan Danielson, or Daniel Bryan, whatever you want to call him, become a legitimate heavyweight champion. And we've seen the emergence of stars like Dolph Ziggler, finally, and others.
Dex Swaggo.
Jack Snow. I'll start with you, Mace. What to you was the most surprising moment of the year in wrestling?
Didn't we do this last week?
We did, but Smug wants to do a whole show about it.
We didn't have a surprising moment last week.
To me, the surprising moment, and it's still, I think we called it a shocking moment last week, or
yeah,
whatever it was,
yeah,
was Punk winning the title at Money in the Bank, when we all had it in our heads that his contract had expired. Yeah, it was the first time in a long time where you didn't know what was going to happen with the title, because the guy that just won it is no longer contracted to the company.
I can remember saying it a couple weeks before then, that him and Vince, it just seemed to me that Vince and him had a handshake agreement.
Yeah, they probably did, but at that point, in a lot of fans' heads, even to a degree in our own heads,
right,
it was still, and even at the time, I remember the conversations that we were going, wow, okay, what happens now?
Right, and this goes back to the beginning of the show, is you guys were talking about how keeping secrets in wrestling, working the people.
Right.
They kept that a secret from us. They put out the story of Punk's leaving. They got it into the dirt sheets, Punk's leaving. And they made, you know, you think in the back of the head, he just left and he's the champ.
Right. And now what are you going to do?
Right.
Who do you put the belt on?
Right. That's what they did. They got it in your head. Didn't do great for numbers, but neither did The Rock, so, you know. As that buy rate bombed domestically. Survivor Series.
It did bomb, didn't it?
Yep.
It's like 250 around total, but it was like 100.
How bad did TLC bomb?
TLC, they haven't released TLC. They've only released Survivor Series.
alright.
That's going to be a shame because that was actually a good pay-per-view.
What, TLC?
It was one of the better this year.
Yeah, it was one of the better ones.
And the thing with the Survivor Series thing, it bombed U.S. in the U.S. because they don't have a reason. Well, there's a good reason that they didn't build up a storyline reason why they should team up. But that's, you know, creative.
It was like, well, you flubbed that whole storyline.
Right, and that's why it was a low buy rate, because no matter what you guys say about The Rock, it's still a big deal that, you know, people should have drawn interest to The Rock's return to the ring.
Well, if you have, I'll say this, all right, you have Team WWE led by Triple H, and you have Triple H, The Rock, John Cena, Randy Orton, and give me one other name.
I don't know, Punk maybe?
Punk, CM Punk. Well, no, because didn't CM Punk wrestle Survivor Series and win the title?
Yeah.
Okay, so no, not Punk.
Just go with four. Go with four.
Well, I'm making it a traditional Survivor Series match.
Okay.
So you have Team
WWE. Were they traditionally four at one time?
At one point,
long ago.
But anyway, Team
WWE. Anyway, you have Team WWE, right? Headed by Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the new regime that has John Laurinaitis on it. And it's John Laurinaitis and The Miz and R-Truth and Wade Barrett and somebody else. And they're going, and this
Ziggler.
Is...
Ziggler.
Huh?
Ziggler.
Ziggler? Well, no, because I would have had... I'm going to go with my previous... that I would have had Ryder and Ziggler at Survivor Series for the U.S. title.
But he also...
So that's taken out of it.
Okay. But he also pulled double duty that night, so it doesn't...
He did pull double duty that night. You are correct, sir.
Yeah. Anyway, continue your...
They both pulled double duty that night.
Who?
Ryder and Ziggler pulled double duty that night, didn't they?
No, Ryder only did a run-in.
Okay. But anyway.
Anyway.
So you have this match for the fate of WWE. You've built up the storyline where Triple H has gone to each one of these individuals and asked them to put their differences aside for the betterment of the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
You have things between Cena and Rock get volatile during the match. And then when they, you know, because WWE's going to go over, because you're not going to have The Rock there, you know, and not put him over at that pay-per-view.
Right, yeah, his first match back. And yeah,
yeah, you're not going to not put him over.
Right, you establish him as the you know, he's
right.
Back.
So you have him and the things between him and Cena boil over at the celebration and kind of go into the back. You could have had at that point the announcement of Mick Foley as your new Raw general manager, replacing John Laurinaitis, as John Laurinaitis gets fired on Raw the next night from his interim general manager position.
You wouldn't even, no, you don't bring Foley on the paper. You do that the next night.
That's what I'm saying. You have him the next night on Raw.
Right.
Named the new general manager of Raw.
Mm-hmm.
As John Laurinaitis gets fired. Like, they flubbed that storyline from the beginning.
Yeah, what's the conspiracy now?
I don't know.
Exactly. He's still texting.
I lost count of the theories at least 250,000 ago.
Yeah, they stopped the conspiracy for the moment, it seems.
But all this has sort of brought a thought into my head. Has this whole thing of The Rock returning and everything, given the fact that Survivor Series bombed, and every time, you know, it's gotten to the point where you hear The Rock's appearing on Raw and you laugh. Do you think that having The Rock at WrestleMania is going to draw much in the way of extra buy rates?
Oh, it's going to draw huge.
At Mania, it'll draw huge.
Because it's The Rock Cena one-on-one. It's not... People actually want to see The Rock fight in a one-on-one scenario against John Cena. they'll have the hype machine behind it. They didn't, they blew this chance. They didn't put out the, you know, they really didn't hype it. You didn't have The Rock go out and do media for it. It was just, he's busy shooting, and they threw him into a match just so he could do a match because he wanted to wrestle at Madison Square Garden.
Which, personally, I think you really need to quit kowtowing to the Rock.
But also, they had a bigger idea, and then they changed their mind.
Which is...
The whole... The original plan was a traditional Survivor Series match where The Rock didn't have to be the focus of it. And they just blew that out of the, you know, picture. He was going to be in the match, but you had 9 other guys on TV that could have built it up.
Right.
And instead, they chose The Miz and R-Truth, and they really didn't give Miz and R-Truth enough heat to where people wanted to see the match. Because you can't build heat with them, a quick win, and that's their heat, and then John Cena beats them up the next week by himself. Why does he need The Rock?
Yeah.
That's why no one bought the pay-per-view, because they seen John Cena doesn't need The Rock. So why go see it?
That's why I think they should have done the traditional Survivor Series matches, because then they all need each other.
Right. And you could have built up the heels, and you could have built up the faces, and The Rock being in the match would have been the special attraction.
Right.
Instead of the focus.
Right.
But that's booking, and... You know, WWE's having a hard time doing that lately. Sticking to something.
Plus, that's booking that was, like, nearly 2 months ago, so yeah. You can't change the past.
No, we can't. But that goes...
You know what WWE needs? They need to hire the guys from THQ.
They did a really
good... Because those guys know how to write a fucking storyline.
That they do. And this goes back to Spug's original question that we tangented away from about 10 minutes ago. Shocking moment, surprising moment, whatever you want to call it. The Rock's back. It has been teased for years, would he come back and do something? He's actually back doing something. That's my, you know, surprise of the year, that they actually talked him into coming back and getting him to do something. Instead of a one-off.
I'm actually surprised that he appeared more than once live in person.
He did it more than a one-off. He's engaging in the stories somewhat. That's the surprise.
I was expecting that one big promo, and then we wouldn't hear anything else until probably about now. But he's actually popped back. He's actually wrestled. I was surprised that they did that much.
It's the factor of he's actually been involved. That's a surprise. You know, The Rock has been a name in the wrestling business more than, oh, look, it's The Rock. Oh, look, it's The Rock. He's been actually involved.
My shocking moment doesn't involve a wrestler. And I was thinking about this more and more. My biggest surprise of the year is the absolute turnaround of Vicky Guerrero from pariah to... actually influential
and
very competent manager.
That and her weight loss.
That too.
She done good.
Well, think about it. 6 months ago, we were like, can she just go away? She's disgracing the name. She's just there to collect a paycheck. We understand why she's there, but please just go away. And then now with they got rid of that whole stupid I'm going to marry Dolph angle, the same thing that they did with Edge, you know, my boyfriend Dolph Ziggler. They ended that. He's just her client now. They brought in Swagger. They've made her very competent, very cunning, very conniving.
But
I think she's become a very
difference?
Good heel. Yeah.
Do you know what the big difference between it is? 6 months to a year ago, she was the general manager of SmackDown, or she was the assistant general manager of SmackDown.
or she was the figurehead of something. She was a person in control, and she was always on television. Since she's become a manager, yeah, she'll have a segment and a match where she's at ringside. They limited her being out there in front of the crowd every week, and it's given her time to work on her character. It's mm-hmm. given her time to work on what she can do with that character, and it's paid off.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
It's oversaturation that caused us to hate the living shit out of her. It's the same with just about everybody. Most right. people hate Cena because he's always on television. He's always the guy in front.
Right.
The more you put somebody in front of camera, the more people are going to hate them because they want something different. They want something fresh each and every week.
Right.
So, I'll go in further and say your man crush when he was on TV every single bloody week. Opened up every Raw for nearly a year and a half.
Yeah, I kind of find it hard to disagree with you on that one.
I think the ground's getting cold. Is hell freezing over?
No, we agree on a lot. We agree more than you think.
Yeah, true.
And Mace, you stole my point. God damn you. I was sitting here waiting for Spud to finish, and I had that same exact point. They took the power away from her, and we're not hating on her as much.
Let's face it. We've all been hanging out together too long. We get inside each other's heads.
Get out steal of my thoughts. Brain!
Steal thoughts, steal questions. That gets insanely bad during kayfabe.
Especially during interviews.
Yes.
Especially. Shut up, Mace. Damn it, that was my question.
Suck it, bitch.
Oh, and while we're talking about interviews, I would like to thank the person who downloaded 15 different episodes of OWW Radio tonight from San Antonio, Texas. Whoever you are, thank you for downloading 15 different episodes today.
You must be fucking bored.
From San Antonio, Texas?
Yes.
I can only hope it's a three-letter named individual.
I don't know why we would download 15 different episodes, but hey, if
to
you want...
To check the work.
There you go.
I don't know.
But yeah.
Because somebody needs to sleep for a while and they can listen to Alan? What? I'm sorry, Alan puts people to sleep.
Sometimes.
What is getting better at not putting people to sleep?
He has... I just need to get him to stop doing stupid impersonations, and then all will be okay.
That'd be like stopping Tim doing stupid impersonations. It ain't gonna happen.
Both Rock and Tim, whenever they say Hulk Hogan, they can't help themselves by going, "Well, Hulk Hogan, brother." Like, really? We know who you're talking about. We don't need the brother in the voice. I'm gonna. That's my biggest bitch about being with Alan this year. It's like when you mention Hogan, I know who the hell you're talking about. I don't need the voice.
You don't need the voice of Hogan from Alan?
Yeah.
So speaking of Alan, are we gonna do a show with him later this week? Like, besides the usual kayfabe, like, are we going to do anything concerning the MMA?
Is there a fight later on?
Lesnar's Friday.
Lesnar Overeem.
Is that Friday?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Is that Friday or Saturday?
Friday.
It'll be on whatever day I'm drinking.
Yeah. I guess we'll be watching it Friday then.
I believe
I
that is on.
I forgot all about that, dude.
Wow.
I forgot all the fuck about that.
But does mean Alan's gonna watch with us?
Yep, we got him hooked. Oh, I tell you what, we're taking another quick break here. When we come back, I have a little roundtable discussion for all of us right here on the Christmas edition of WrestleTalk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. be right back.
And some dancing paper. Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear voices singing, let's be jolly, deck the halls with boughs of holly. Rocking around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way. Tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old fashioned way.
Hi, I'm Alanis Morissette wishing you the happiest of holidays.
Hey, this is Amy from Evanescence wishing everybody a happy holidays.
What's up? This is Pink. I want to wish everyone a very happy Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah, happy New Year, and be safe and buckle up.
Hi, this is Cheryl Crow wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hey, what's going on? It's Kelly Clarkson. I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
WildTalkRadio.com.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow.
And welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Special Christmas edition with, like, half the crew.
We're the important ones.
Yes, yes we are.
Like I said.
We don't turn around and go, I had a night off, so I decided to schedule something else.
And then be online.
Yeah, Tim.
Yes.
I'm quite sure Tim is off having a lovely Christmas day with his son.
I think he did
who
that.
Supposedly needs no presents.
No, Tim's around at night. Tim's around at night. I think he did the things with that one last night.
Okay. Tim's here.
Tim's here. Spug just didn't invite him to the party.
Ah, because we wanted to have a good show for once. Hey, I got a week to get every shot in, and then I'm back to work for 6 months.
Feel so bad for you.
That's why tomorrow night on
why?
The Raw...
I like making money.
Yeah, tomorrow night on the Raw Post Show, Mace is going to roast everybody.
Yes!
Might as well.
Yeah. Why not? What are they going to do, fire me?
Anyway.
You're fired, Mace.
See, I told you you were the Tim Stein tonight.
Oh, this is so much fun.
Anyway.
It's only fun because we're nice and relaxed after Christmas.
Yeah, we are pretty relaxed.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, and go ahead, Rock, hit the sounder for it.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
Who is going to be the breakout star of 2012?
I swear we've done these segments already.
I swear, but this is a deja vu show. What the hell?
Shut up. I don't remember last week. I don't understand how drunk I was.
We did this 2 weeks ago.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did. I had tons of people, you know. Okay, we...
For 2012, next year's breakout star. We pick out next week... We picked next year's breakout star 2 weeks ago. No, we didn't. We picked this past year's breakout star.
No, we had a discussion about... Okay, we didn't have this perfect discussion.
Yeah, fuck you. Answer the question.
But we had this debate.
Can we pick the breakout star for 2013 instead?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. You know what? Yes.
Jimmy Uso. Jimmy Uso is going to be the breakout star of 2013. You heard it here first.
Jimmy Uso?
Yeah. No, but for 2012, it's got to be Ziggler.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with that. It's going to be Ziggler. Mind you, you're going to find a lot of 2012, and I'm crossing fingers and toes and everything for this one, that we're going to at least see part of the year dominated by guys like Danielson, like Ryder, like Punk, building into this newer, younger WWE. This is going to be a changeover year for the company.
That's what a point I brought up on the Kayfabe Wrestling Radio heard every Tuesday night live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. That what we saw on Monday was the start of something. And despite what the ratings say, take the hit now. Because it's not about today. It's about 6 months from now.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with you on that.
So, that, you know, they can't say, oh, John Cena needs to come back because the ratings are down. No, he doesn't. You need someone else.
Need to have faith in the guys that are there now.
And Punk did radio here in Philly promoting Raw last week. And he was talking about how he didn't want John Cena on this pay-per-view. You know, how this was the first time John Cena's been left off the pay-per-view. They gotta show that somebody else can carry the ball.
And Punk, despite what he's been saying on some of these shows, he's been a media machine for the last 6 months.
Yeah, he has.
Which is fucking awesome, because it shows that somebody else besides John Cena can actually do something in that company.
Well, let me throw this out there about taking the hit now. If you allow your younger crop to begin to build, and you have, you know, Ziggler, Ryder, Punk, Daniel Bryan, all those guys, how do you sell that to your investors who only see the numbers on the ratings and don't understand the building and the workings of the machine?
To the investors, the ratings aren't the point. Case in point, they're not. WWE does not see any advertising money from the ratings, for Raw or SmackDown. That goes to USA and Sci-Fi because of the deal they made. They don't get the advertising, so that money, they're not seeing it to begin with. So ratings going up, going down, really shouldn't affect that. What the concern is the buy rates. And if the buy rates go down, that's the problem. But if they start to creep back up, then things are building.
And the good thing that will help guys like Ziggler, Punk, Ryder, etc., is that we're heading into the big business end of the wrestling quote unquote season. Your Royal Rumble, your lead up to the Royal Rumble,
through to the end of WrestleMania is the peak season for wrestling. This is where your big numbers are going to start coming in. This is when your fans are going to start coming back. And as long as things like the buy rates for the Royal Rumble and possibly Elimination Chamber go up, along with merchandise sales, which are going to be, you know, doing very strong numbers, given how much stuff's usually unavailable on the goddamn website, you know, the investors are going to be happy. As long as money's pouring in, the investors are happy.
And they're already going to be taking a hit, because with this all WWE Network that's supposedly supposed to launch April 1st. They're already going to be losing money on this because it's going to take them a while to get distribution for it. This is a transition period for the company, and it's not about today. Like I'm saying, it's not about today or tomorrow. It's about down the road, where you have to establish the next crop. Let's, if you go back to 1997, when ratings were back at this low point, as I mentioned in the articles, how this was the lowest rated, you know, segment since like 97, 98. Who was that young crop of people they started to push then?
97, 98. That was your
Triple H's,
was your Stone Cold, yeah, your Stone Cold, your Rocks, your Triple H's, the guys that basically headlined the company for the next 10 years. And then some.
You get to a low point, you build back up, and you gotta take chance. The company, I think, suffers from the Brock Lesnar effect.
And that is?
They pushed him to the moon, and then he left. And if you think about it, they're not... They start to push people, but then they pull it back.
He's got a good point. Plus, you take a look at how many people, especially in the Divas division, I've noticed this more and more, who use the WWE as a stepping stone to further their career in other areas. Yeah, look at Divas who go out and then try acting. You look at how many announcers and, you know, commentators that they've had leave the company, go on to other places like ESPN or, you know, radio or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they keep building and building and building, and when people start to get the skills, they start marketing those skills elsewhere. Whereas if they push the skills a little bit, then bring them back, and sort of doing like a yo-yo effect, it keeps the guys around longer and works better for business in the long term.
And the only one who has not suffered is John Cena. If you even look at Randy Orton, how many times have they yanked the, you know, him back in the last 8 years?
Yeah. Quite a few, but a lot of that's been his own doing.
Yeah.
But the point is, there's still, you know, every time someone starts to rise, they pull them back down the reality.
I don't think to the extent that you're talking about right now. I think with the WWE, the thing that they really suffer from is that they grew in, and personal opinion is that they suffered from a writing department that knew nothing about the fan base or the product that they were writing for. They had a bulletin board of basic ideas, but they knew nothing. And so when you had that crop of Hall of Famers in Stone Cold, The Rock, Triple H, oh my God, who else was in there? I mean, that's three bona fide right there. Shawn Michaels is another who really got the big push around that time.
No, that's when he you know, late 97, yeah. After that, he was gone after Mania.
But, yeah. I mean, I think that's when he really got his big, big push. Was then.
But you also have... You had
no, your, no. So, well, the early 90s were more the peak for Shawn Michaels 90, when he was winning the...
96, 90, early 98 was his peak until he came back in 2002 when he really got on the rise. But in the 97, you had your Mick Foley's. You had your,
right. Hall of Famer.
Right. You had the Undertaker. He was on his... That was the Undertaker's peak.
Well, but you think about it. It's 2012. He's still around.
Is he?
He's going to show up and wrestle at Mania.
But he's not... You're not building the company around him anymore.
Not anymore, but I'm just trying to think of all the Hall of Famers that are in that group.
You had your Edges. You had your Christians.
You had your... You had Edge your, is a Hall of Famer.
But
Christian
I'm just saying,
is not.
But I'm just saying, this was the crop. You had your Hardy. It was the start of the beginning of the Hardys. You had the beginning of the Dudley Boys in WWE. In 99. You had that
Kurt
whole,
Angle.
Kurt Angle. You had this whole crop between 98 and 99. You know, that's when they started to build them. You have to give the guys a chance.
No. The thing is, I'm agreeing with you.
I know.
But you look at that class, that crop. That's a once-in-a-generation kind of crop. You know what I mean? Of all of those individuals who are going to go on to be such superstars.
But the thing is, they're once in a generation. You look, go back a generation. That's where your Shawn Michaels are. That's when your Kevin Nash, your Scott Hall. You know, that's when those guys were starting to come out.
Bret Hart. Yeah,
that's when they started building their legacies.
Yeah.
But I'm not disagreeing with Rob.
We're hitting the generation wall. We're going to start seeing the next generation come forth in the next, you know, two, three years.
Right. And what I'm saying is yes, I agree with you need to let those individuals have their time, and you need to take the hit now. But eventually, if you continually to have low ratings, it will affect advertising dollars, and you will have those investors who do pay attention to those ratings numbers.
Yeah,
so my whole question is how do you sell that to an investor?
Simple. It's the new generation. You have to
sell them on the hit.
You have to sell them on the hit, and you can combine the hit with we're expanding, building new stars, building a new network. And this is where you're going to see you have to give what they're not good at. You have to give their long range plan.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you can't always give good news to investors. Every now and again, you are going to have to turn around and say, "Yes, we're going to take a hit. But here's the light at the end of the tunnel."
And they've always
remember what happened back here, back here, back here.
Right.
And they look at 99, 2000.
They took
that
off.
Was the last time wrestling took a big hit. Like in terms of development of new stars and everything. That's when they took a hit.
No, go back like 2 years. 97 was the big hit. 2000 was the rise.
No.
Yeah.
97-98 was the peak of the Monday Night Wars, dude. 99-2000, the fall of WCW.
That was at one.
And the transition out of the Attitude Era for the WWE, that took a hit. Both companies took a big hit. WCW, bigger one, obviously, but yeah.
But 99-2000 was WWE's biggest year, publicly with the money and, you know, that was their boom. They made the most money in those years.
Right.
And they had the highest ratings at that point. Until WCW left and half the audience went away. So they were good then. They have to be willing to just stick with something.
Yeah, because this is the thing. They've been trying to do a transition for a while now. If you take a close look at it,
But the thing is, they haven't been bothered to really go, you, 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 and you. We're going to take you, we're going to turn you into the next biggest thing on this planet.
Right. And their next selling point to sell to investors for the next 4 months? What's his name's coming back? The Rock is your stopgap to help the other guys, to keep the other guys with their push. You sell The Rock while they develop.
Then you've got the return of who gives a toss on the second.
But you gotta, that's what, how they can spin it. You wanna spin? It's The Rock. The Rock's back. He's your selling point. And you gotta let, you gotta, they have to be willing to push somebody. And just make them strong. No half-assing.
Eventually, you got to be willing to drop a dollar to make a dollar.
Exactly.
You take a look at Nintendo. They had a great big bumper few years with the Wii. They brought out the 3DS. It flopped. They turned around and said, okay, we're going to take a loss on every 3DS sold. All of a sudden, 3DS sales went through the roof. And they started making the money back. But the thing is, you've got to be willing to take the hit to make the money in the end.
And are they willing to take the hit?
I think Vince is. Vince is more than willing to take the hit because he's done this many times over. He knows what he's doing. The investors just have to have the faith in Vince. And also in Triple H as well. Because I reckon Vince will probably bow out in the next 3 years. And fully hand the reins over to Triple H. Spoke?
I'm here. I'm like,
You're contemplating the meaning of life?
No, I'm contemplating, like, I think that the reins are going to be handed over to Triple H long before 3 years. I think within the next...
I don't think you're going to see it in the next 12 months. Vince is going to be a lot more hands-off in the next 12 months.
Yeah.
But the official, you know, in front of investors, in front of crowd, blah, 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 news reports, blah, 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 that's going to happen in the next 3 years.
I would say 18 months tops.
Nah, I don't think any time before WrestleMania 30. After WrestleMania 30 is when Vince will completely bow out.
We shall see.
We shall. Believe me, I plan to be at WrestleMania 30.
We ready to take another break?
Well, might as well.
Or do you guys want to, do some quick hits and wrap it up?
We don't have any quick hits. I didn't prepare a show. This was your...
No, so do you just want to wrap it up?
I don't know. Do you have anything you want to...
I don't have anything else.
I'm good.
I've been winging the whole show, so...
Well, that was the point of your show.
Pretty much.
I wasn't doing jack shit tonight.
Well, how about we end it with what's everybody planning for New Year's?
Apparently we're doing a show New Year's at some point.
Crying that the Browns get their ass whooped by the Steelers.
Apparently we're doing a show on New Year's Eve at some point.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I was...
Tuesday, OWW Radio.
Really? Really?
Kayfabe Radio. Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, me and Wojcik. Cassidy Riley joins us for the BCS Challenge.
There you go.
And Brian Christopher, I believe, is the guest this week.
Yes.
We're gonna.
And if I remember correctly, Ellen is planning to bring us MVP in the new year. Finally.
Yep.
What's the plan?
Yep.
And we'll be on the air tomorrow night, right after 11:30.
Okay, I will be here.
Me and Mace will be here.
And anyone else who wants to show up.
Yeah, we're putting Mace to work.
Yay!
I got many months of shows to make up for.
Yeah, so I'm going to put him at work. On Wednesday, he's going to, you know, DJ. Thursday, he's going to clean the toilets.
You know what I'd like to try and do this week? Maybe Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. You know, there's this little show we used to do with...
You have to talk to the guy in Florida about that.
Alan?
The other guy in Florida.
The one that we're hoping to pay a visit to and steal his Transformer collection?
Yes.
Make sure he doesn't have plans.
Yeah. Make sure he doesn't have plans.
Yes. That should be a nice little story. The Spug and Mace road trip that is being planned for next summer.
That'll be fun.
We're planning to get kicked out of countries.
Indeed.
Coming in 2013, Mace and Spug do the show from South Africa. It's the only place they'll have.
No, probably Sweden, a place without an extradition treaty. So, any final thoughts before we fuck off?
Nope.
No, just be here tomorrow night. Merry Christmas, everyone. Be here tomorrow night, and let's get the fuck out.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
I have lightsaber chopsticks.
Mace wins.
Indeed.
Good night.
Just like the ones I used to know. Where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
WildTalkRadio.com.